Kings chapter 2, we're going to begin in a moment in verse 26. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 26. Of the judgment of three men. The outcomes for each of them are different, at least for one of them. There's an outcome that's different. An outcome for another one that could have been different had he done what he should have done. Another that was judged for his sin and he died. And we're going to look at each of these men in just a minute. The Bible says God is a righteous judge. We read the verse this morning in John chapter 12, where Jesus said, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." God gave us this book. This book is both a guide to our life, and it is a legal document by which we will be evaluated one day. And everything in this book is true, it's accurate, it's pure, and it's meant so that you and I can know how God wants us to live our life. The great majority of the New Testament is not about how to be saved, but how to live after you're saved. And very, very detailed. Come out from among them, the Bible says, and be ye separate. Touch not the unclean thing. Not to live in the world. If you love the world, that the love of the Father is not in you. And all sorts of details. We won't rehearse them this morning. But the Bible tells us how to live our life. And then you look around at the world is not pointing the same direction as the Bible, is it? It always shocks me when I get a chance to get away and be in crowds. We were in Florida this week. We went to Epcot Center for a day, and you see the thousands upon thousands of people walking along, and they've got their children with them, or they've got their family or whatever, and you look at them and you think, many of them are completely oblivious and unaware of the judgment that awaits them in eternity. One of the reasons God put us here is to remind folks, amen? Sometimes they don't like to hear that, but they need to. But folks, you and I will be judged also. Now, we're not going to be judged for heaven or hell, but we'd be judged either for rewards or loss of rewards. So, three men here. If you think about what's happening, it makes really good sense. Solomon has ascended to the throne of Israel. He has been given some responsibility by his father David to deal with some situations that David hadn't yet dealt with. And we're going to see three of those today. There is a man in verse 26 named Abiathar. Now, Abiathar was a priest, and he had sided with Adonijah. If you remember, the names kind of get lost, but David had a son named Adonijah. Adonijah tried to steal the kingdom from Solomon, and Abiathar tried to help him. He's guilty. In fact, if you read with me in verse 26, David or Solomon says to him, "Thou art worthy of death." He rebelled against the king. He's worthy of death. But we're going to see in just a moment where he was able to obtain mercy. Then there's a second man here. We've talked about him a lot already. His name is Joab. And Joab is a man who has taken innocent blood. Verse 31 describes that. And he's going to be judged for his sin and slain. He's going to die. Then there's a third man here. His name is Shimei. And Shimei is a man who had stoned and cursed David. He threw rocks at him and cursed him when Absalom rebelled. And then he came cringing back to the king after David recovered, and he sought mercy. And you'll see what happens to him in just a minute. But in each case, folks, God's a righteous judge. He does what's right. My friend, Pastor Thomas Corkish, who stepped into eternity at the age of 88 last Friday night, had been a faithful servant of God for decade upon decade upon decade, through thick and thin, if you will, through easy times, through hard times, mostly hard times. I've seen a lot of what he went through. And the Bible says that we must enter into eternity with tribulation. There's going to be trouble in your life. And he had that, but he was faithful to God to the very end. God's going to reward that man in a different way than he would reward someone who's not faithful to God. Now, you understand that when you got saved for all eternity. And you had, as it were, a clean slate. Your sins are covered in the blood of Christ, and there is no more remembrance of them. They are separated from you as far as the east is from the west. And you, as you begin your saved life, one thing you do know, you're going to spend eternity with Christ in heaven and then on a new heaven and a new earth. You're going to be with him forever. But the Bible is very clear. There is a judgment for Christians. Believers who have been faithful are going to receive a certain kind of crown. Those that have not been faithful are going to suffer some loss. They're going to lose some rewards. So as you think about how to apply this message today, there's two easy ways to apply it. You can think about it in terms of salvation. That works pretty well. We'll show you that. But it really is more simple just to understand that, folks, God is a righteous judge, and he is going to judge righteously. He's going to reward those that deserve it, and he's going to withhold reward from those that don't deserve it. And then there will be those that will be slain because they never were saved. So I'm not going to ask you to stand for the reading of God's word, but I am going to just read the first couple of verses here and pray. And I'm going to begin in chapter 2 of 1 Kings in verse 26. We're going to read about Abiathar first. The Bible says, "Unto Abiathar the priest said the king, Get thee to Anatoth, unto thine own fields, for thou art worthy of death. But I will not at this time put thee to death, because thou bearest the ark of the Lord God before David my father, and because thou hast been afflicted in all wherein my father was afflicted." So Solomon thrust out Abiathar from being priest unto the Lord, that he might fulfill the word of the Lord which he spake concerning the house of Eli in Shiloh. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this morning for each one here. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to open the Bible and to be undisturbed for a few moments. I pray that we would be totally focused on what you have to say to us, and I pray that we'd hear it the way you want us to hear it, as a passage that is applicable not just to the men in the day where we read, but in our day, that we each are also subject to a type of judgment one day, not necessarily for salvation, but for the rewards we'll receive or the rewards we'll lose in eternity. God, I do pray that you'd please bless, use your Spirit's power to meet the needs of the people in this room. And we pray in Christ's name, amen. Let's look at this first fellow, Abiathar. He was a man who was with David in the cave at Adullam back when Saul was chasing David. So Abiathar and David go way back. And Abiathar had been a valuable part of David's early years and had been an asset, as Solomon mentions to him there in verse 26. But Abiathar had chosen to go with the rebellious king, Adonijah, when he tried to rebel. He sided with him against Solomon. And folks, rebellion is worthy of death. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Aren't you glad that God did not leave you in your sin, but he sent Christ to die for your sin? So that today, we know that the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Abiathar is an example of mercy. He should have died, but he was spared. But there is a cost. And that's what's important to understand, that when you and I, the fact that we are saved is a wonderful thing, and how could you exceed that? What better thing can you think of? But the fact that we are saved does not mean that there are no consequences for our sin. It does not mean, just because you're saved, that you can live any way you want, and it does not mean that you're going to be rewarded in the same way as someone who's faithful if you choose to be unfaithful. Abiathar had been the priest. Now, think about what's coming. Solomon is going to become the king. In fact, he has done so. David had laid up all the materials necessary. Solomon is going to build the first temple. An amazing, we'll see some of that as we study his life, an amazing edifice covered in gold, and we won't describe it now, but it was a wonderful, beautiful building. And Solomon's going to build that. And somebody is going to be the priest who gets to dedicate that building. It could have been Abiathar. He could have been the one to be involved in the dedication of Solomon's temple. But he lost that opportunity when he chose to side with the rebel against the king. Folks, be careful what side you pick. Be careful whether you choose the world's side or the Lord's side. Be careful which path you walk in, whether you walk with the world or whether you walk with the folks that have stepped away from the world and received Christ as Savior. And don't think that sin doesn't have a consequence. Now, there's two sides to that coin. One side is this. I need to warn you, sin has a consequence. And then as I turn that coin over, I need to remind you, God is willing to make things right with you if you'll make things right with Him. There is room for repentance. There is room to come back and do what's right. You say, I've chosen to do what's wrong, Pastor. What am I going to do? Make it right. Abiathar didn't do that. And what's happening here, if you see in verses 26 and 27, that the sin has consequence. He has accepted the mercy because he should have been killed, but he's lost his role as the priest. He's lost the opportunity to serve God in a very special way, in a very special place. And the devil to this day is finding men and women, young men and young women especially, and disqualifying them from service for the Lord. And just remember this, don't take it for granted that God lets you serve Him. Not everybody gets to. So the first thing we saw was Abiathar and the opportunity to, or the example of mercy, I should say. The second one, Joab, we've had a lot to say about him, but I'll read a few of these verses for you. Joab is a man who was worthy of judgment and tried to escape it. He thought perhaps he could find a way out. Have you ever had anybody say to you, and I've heard these words, they're somewhere between humorous and sad. They'll say to you, well, I've got my own special arrangement with God. You'll say to someone, you need to receive Christ as your Savior. You need to repent of your sins and turn to the Lord Jesus. And they say, well, I've got my own special deal with God. Folks, there are no special deals with God. The one special is Christ died for your sins. And you can receive Him and turn to Him and turn from your sin and accept Him as your Savior. That's the only deal in the Bible. There's no other second chance. There's no other alternative. Baptism isn't going to help you. Church membership isn't going to help you. Doing good works isn't going to help you. There are no special deals. Joab knew he had done wrong. He knew he was guilty, and the time has come to pay the price, and he's going to try to get out of that. Let's see that if we could, beginning in verse 28. Tidings came to Joab, for Joab had turned after Adonijah. Now, remember, Adonijah is the son that tried to steal the kingdom. Joab tried to help. Though he turned not after Absalom, and Absalom was the first one to try to steal the kingdom, and Joab didn't turn with him. Joab fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told King Solomon that Joab was fled unto the tabernacle of the Lord, and behold, he is by the altar. Then Solomon sent Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, saying, go, fall upon him. And Benaiah came to the tabernacle of the Lord and said unto him, thus saith the king, come forth. And he, as Joab, said, nay, I will die here. And Benaiah brought the king word again, saying, thus saith Joab, said Joab, and thus he answered me. And the king said unto him, do as he hath said, and fall upon him and bury him, that thou mayest take away the innocent blood which Joab shed from me and from the house of my father. And the Lord shall return his blood upon his own head, and fell upon two men more righteous and better than he, and slew them with the sword, my father David not knowing thereof, to wit, Abner the son of Ner, captain of the host of Israel, and Amasa the son of Jether, captain of the host of Judah. Those are the two men he had killed. Their blood shall therefore return upon the head of Joab and upon the head of his seer, of his seed, forever. But upon David and upon his seed and upon his house and upon his throne shall there be peace forever from the Lord. And Benaiah the son of Jehoiada went up and fell upon him and slew him, and he was buried in his own house in the wilderness. Joab is a simple example of judgment. Folks, God judges sin. Every sin. You read in the news of someone who did something horrible and you think they got away with it. Folks, nobody got away with it. One of two things always happens when someone sins. Either they're going to suffer the consequence of that sin, or if they get saved, Christ will take that sin upon himself. But Joab is a man that had killed innocent blood and he deserved to die. And he thought, perhaps if I go to the tabernacle and I grab onto the altar, maybe they'll somehow take mercy on me. But folks, outside the blood of Christ, there's no remission of sin. And there's no opportunity for this man. He has not done what's right, and he's going to suffer the consequences. Now, this third one we'll spend a little bit more time on. This is an interesting one because in it, you might see something that you can use in your life more than maybe these first two. This is a man named Shimei. Now, Shimei, when Absalom, David had two different times when people rebelled against him. Absalom was one of them. When Absalom rebelled against David, Absalom took the kingdom, and David had to flee. He had to flee the city and flee into the wilderness. And on the way, there's a man named Shimei, and Shimei basically just threw a fit and threw stones at him and called him names and mocked him, and David was the king. He deserved better than that. He did not deserve to be treated that way. But in this passage, Shimei is offered an opportunity to escape judgment. Escaping it in the sense of, if he will do a certain thing, then he will not have to die. And you'll see that as we read the passage here. So in verse 35, the king put Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, in his room. In other words, he became the general in place of Joab, over the host. And Zadok, the priest, did the king put in the room of Abiathar. So now we've got a new general and a new priest. In verse 36, and the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, build thee an house in Jerusalem, and dwell there, and go not forth thence any whither. For it shall be that on the day thou goest out and passest over the brook Kidron, thou shalt know for certain that thou shalt surely die. Thy blood shall be upon thine own head. Now, this verse 37, let me explain. In Jerusalem, if you visit there today, you'll see that same brook. It flows along the side of the city, and it's just outside the city walls. Those walls weren't there in this day. They were different walls, but Kidron was the boundary. Once you're inside Jerusalem, you're on one side of the river. When you leave Jerusalem, you cross over to the other side of that river, and a brook. It's not a river. It's a little creek, really, we'd call it. And David says to Shimei, he says, listen to me. You ought to die. You rebelled against the king, but I'm giving you an opportunity. If you'll do what I say, you can live. And here's the rule. Stay in Jerusalem. Don't leave the city. If you stay in Jerusalem, I'll spare your life. If you leave Jerusalem, you're going to die. Now the question is, did Shimei believe him or not? Let's see what happens. Verse 38, Shimei said unto the king, the saying is good. As my lord the king hath said, so will thy servant do. And Shimei dwelt in Jerusalem many days. Verse 39, it came to pass at the end of 3 years that two of the servants of Shimei ran away unto Achish, son of Maacah, king of Gath. And they told Shimei, saying, behold, thy servants be in Gath. And Shimei arose and saddled his ass and went to Gath, to Achish, to seek his servants. And Shimei went and brought his servants from Gath. And it was told Solomon that Shimei had gone from Jerusalem to Gath and was come again. And the king sent and called for Shimei and said unto him, did I not make thee to swear by the Lord and protested unto thee, saying, no, for a certain, on the day thou goest out and walkest abroad any whither, that thou shalt surely die? And thou saidst unto me, the word that I have heard is good. Stop right there. It's all coming together. Shimei was given an alternative. Stay in Jerusalem, you'll live. Leave the city, and that day you will die. And the question is, will the king keep his word? Maybe 3 years have gone by, and the king might not be as interested as he was on day one. Maybe this will be okay, Shimei might have thought. Or maybe Shimei thought, I've got a good excuse. Two of my servants ran away, and who would deny me the opportunity to go get them and bring them back? And I don't know what Shimei was thinking, but let me ask you the question. Was he right? Was it a good idea to say, I doubt the word of the king, or I don't think the king will enforce the saying, or maybe the king is forgotten, or no. And listen to me. You and I have the word of the king right here. Don't we? It's not just a matter of reading this book. It's a matter of believing this book. And if you believe it, And we're so guilty of this sometimes. We'll read a passage in the Bible that will condemn a certain sin or tell us not to live in the world or tell us how we ought to look or whatever. We'll see some things and we'll say, well, maybe it's not quite that way. Maybe it's not that simple. Maybe there's an excuse or maybe there's an escape clause or maybe there's another way. Maybe God will overlook. Maybe God won't worry about my sin. Maybe what I do won't be as terrible as what it might be if someone else did it. And so Shimei doubted the king's word, or perhaps he disregarded it just flagrantly. But in either case, first of all, notice this. In verse 42, the king saw. Folks, God knows us better than we know us. God sees what we do. God knows the desires of our heart. God knows whether we want to please him or whether we want to please the world. God knows whether what we're doing is because we want to honor God or because we want to honor man or forget about God or whatever. God knows us better than we know us. And don't question the fact, Shimei might have thought, well, maybe the king will never find out. The king found out. Now, you understand, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. It's interesting, when we want to pray, you want God to be there, don't you? What about when you sin? Maybe God won't care. Maybe God will look the other way. Maybe God will let this one go. Maybe. Shimei played that game and lost. Shimei was seen by the king in verse 42. And what did the king do in verse 42? He brought back up his word. He said, Shimei, what did I say? Again, I quote John 12:48, that this is the book by which we will be judged. And when you and I decide to live in a way that's in contradiction to this book, we know better. We've heard from the king. We know what he had to say. We know what he wants. And so when the king says, this is the way it's going to be, folks, that's the way it's going to be. And that's the first thing he did when he judged Shimei. He said, you heard from me directly what was permissible and what was not. And you disregarded it. You said, yes, I think this is right. And then you went against it. Verse 43. Why then hast thou not kept the oath of the Lord and the commandment that I have charged thee with? The king said moreover to Shimei, thou knowest all the wickedness which thine heart is privy to, that thou didst to David my father. Therefore the Lord shall return thy wickedness upon thine own head. And King Solomon shall be blessed, and the throne of David shall be established before the Lord forever. So the king commended Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell upon him that he died. And the king was established in the hand of Solomon. Now, three situations there. And the last one by far is the saddest to me. In the first one, you have Abiathar who obtained mercy. He lost his privileges. He lost the opportunity to serve God, but his life was spared. You have Joab, who was a murderer of innocent blood, and he paid the price for that murder. But Shimei had a choice. All he had to do was do what the king said, and the king would spare him. And he knew exactly what the king had said, and he knew what he was expected of him, what he should have done, and he chose not to do it, and because of that, he died. Now, you and I sit here today. Let me talk to you about salvation just for a moment. The Bible makes it very clear, all have sinned. We understand that. And the Bible says, the wages of sin is death. By the way, the Bible says that we came short of the glory of God. You say, I'm not that bad? Well, you're not that good either. Because the Bible says that except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, you've got to keep the law perfectly, and none of us have. So the Bible makes it very clear, all have sinned, the wages of sin is death. But then the Bible says this, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Believeth what? The gospel is very clear. The gospel is the fact that Christ came and died for your sins. Now don't think about anybody else in the room except yourself right now. Christ died for you. For you. Christ died for me. Say it that way. He died for me. He died because I sinned. My sins sent him to the cross. My suffering became his suffering. My hell became his hell, if you will. My judgment became his judgment. He knew no sin, but he took my sin upon him and gave me his righteousness. That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. He rose the third day, demonstrating that the sin had been taken care of. Because where there is sin, there is death. Where there is resurrection, sin has been removed. And the blood of Christ cleanses it, covers it, removes it from us. That's the gospel. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. Then the Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. I'm in Romans 10, by the way, if you're interested. It's Romans 10, 13, right in that area. And it says this, he says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. It's not just what I believe. I need to call on Christ to save me. Now, that's tricky, but let's just put it this way. Why wouldn't someone ask Christ to save them? If you believe he died for you, Lord, save me. He says in verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't lose sight of the fact that you're not saved so you can sin all you want. You're saved from the sin that you want. Don't lose sight of the fact, the Bible says this, that we confess the Lord Jesus. He is Lord. He is God. He is God, inasmuch as God, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. So knowing who he is and what he did for us and asking him to save you is not just asking him to give you a fire escape from hell. It is asking him to come into your heart and to change you and to make you what he wants you to be. And folks, he will. If Christ lives in your heart, you won't be perfect, but you'll be different. You won't stop sinning, but you'll wish you could stop sinning. And when Christ lives in your heart, it is a new life. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So do not in any way try and use this passage or any other to think that you can lose your salvation. The thing is, there are requirements. God expects you to trust his Son for salvation. If you won't do that, you will not be saved. Solomon gave Shimei a simple requirement. Stay in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a big city. Plenty of reason to be there. Anything you needed was right there. But Shimei, the problem with Shimei is he didn't really believe what the king said. And then his deed of leaving Jerusalem demonstrated that. The king had said, the day you leave, you're going to die. And Shimei thought, maybe. And 3 years later, when his servants ran away, his lack of faith became a work, a deed, a sin against the king, and he left the city, and he sealed his fate. I know people believe that you have to be maybe real bad to go to hell. Now we read this morning in James chapter 2 in Sunday school, if you keep the whole law and just break one of them, you're guilty of the whole thing. Some people believe that hell is just for the murderer and the robber and the person that does really wicked things. No, hell is for liars. Hell is for petty thieves. Hell is for people that don't love God. And folks, the wages of sin is death. A lot of people in the world today are saying, I'm not that bad. I don't really think that God would send me to hell. But folks, what you think and what the Bible say had better be in agreement. Because what the Bible says is what God said, and what God said is right. Don't make the mistake Shimei made. Maybe the king will overlook this. I got a good excuse. It's been 3 years. It's only one time. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, you need to do it today. How many times has the pastor stood in the pulpit and said, this may be your last chance? I do not know what's going to happen today. The Lord could come back. There have been many people that thought they had one more chance to trust in Christ, and something happened and their life came to an end. walk through the cemetery sometime and look at how many of those grave markers are people that were in their teens or their 20s. And they thought they had their whole life ahead of them, and then just like that, it was gone. Folks, the Bible is the Word of God, and God doesn't play games. He's serious. And when He says that you will believe on Him, He'll save you. But if you will not believe on Him, John 3:36 is a good verse for you. It says you're condemned, and that God's wrath is going to abide on you. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen? Amen. I believe what this book said. And now that I'm saved, I look back at this other fellow, Abiathar, and I think to myself, God gave me an opportunity to serve Him. God gave you an opportunity to serve Him. Amen? In different ways. Do you find that opportunity precious? We're going to have a missionary here in August, Chase Southard. He's going to South Africa. And I've known a lot of missionaries over the years, and a couple of them come to mind real quick because we're close friends or personal acquaintances and so on. And I think of the fact that a man who is a missionary, he's going to leave a lot of possessions behind. He won't have as many opportunities to be around family. He'll be in a foreign land and a foreign culture and probably have to go without some things. But then there's things like last Friday night when my friend Thomas Corkish stepped into eternity. I was talking to his son on the phone yesterday preparing for the funeral and explained to his son how close he and I had been how many things he had done for me. I made the comment, I said, of all the people I have ever known personally, I don't know anyone who has more rewards laid up for them in heaven, who has more to look forward to in eternity because of the way they lived their life. And his son said, that's very kind of you to say. I said, no, it's the truth. Because folks, we're all going to be judged one day. And as you can see from this passage, God's judgment is righteous. Someone says, why would God send someone to hell? Because you rejected His Son is the answer to that question. God says, why would God withhold rewards from someone? Because you chose the world instead of choosing Christ. Why would God judge? Because He's a righteous judge. He has to. So it's just back to where I started. God gave us this book. It's a good book. You start reading through this book and you see things in this book and you think, wow, there's commandments in this book. There's warnings in this book. There's blessings in this book. There's promises in this book. Amen? I get to reading through this book and I see how God dealt with lots of different people. And you know, it's consistent. The people that obeyed God, that listened to God, that walked with God, He took good care of them. The people that rejected God and refused God's word and refused God's will, they paid a price for that. Do you think you and I are any different than the people in this book? The world is not going to tell you go to church. The world's not going to tell you have a godly appearance. The world's not going to tell you to use right language or to whatever. The world's not going to tell you that. The world's going to tell you, oh, just have a good time. The world is a lot like Shimei. They just disregarded what God said and did what they wanted to do. But we're going to stand before God one day. And then that's when we're going to get to find out. We really know. But we're going to hear it announced. Either, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or thou wicked and slothful servant. One of the two. As a pastor, I'm getting ready for this service that I'm going to preach for Pastor Corkish, and I've already got a message lined up, and I'm going to preach some of it this coming Wednesday night just to give you an idea because I'm excited about it. But the gist of the message is this. God called every one of us to do some things, didn't He? He didn't make everybody a pastor. That's okay. He didn't make everybody a missionary. That's okay, too. He didn't make everybody a school teacher or a Christian school administrator or... He didn't make everybody the same, but God's got something for you to do. God's got a way He wants you to live. And now you have to decide, am I going to believe God or am I going to follow the world? The world says, hey, we got some things for you here. We got some riches. We've got some pleasure. We've got some experiences. We've got some fame. You can do some things in the world that you can't do if you follow God. Oh, you're saved. But come over here and live with us. We're going to make you real happy. Folks, there's another story kind of like that in the Bible. It reminds me of Genesis chapter 3 when Satan said, "Yay, hath God said, thou shalt surely die?" No, I said, "You're going to be like God, knowing good and evil. This will be good for you," the devil said. Folks, when you don't listen to God, it never ends well. Amen? And again, I got good news for you. It's not too late to listen to God. Whatever it is God's talking to you about, He's got some direction for you, some decision you need to make, something you need to walk away from, something you need to walk towards. There's judgment. But there's also time. There's time to make it right before it's too late. And if you're here today and you're not saved, there's time for that as well. One day it'll be too late. One day the judgment will be declared and executed. And there are going to be some folks in hell that are going to say, "I should have listened to the Bible." But there's going to be some folks in heaven saying the same thing. Let's listen to the Lord. Amen? Let's all stand and pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness to us, that you sent Christ to die on the cross for our sins. And I know that many, many people in this room have absolutely no